life with the girlfriends, or more life with the girlfriends, as Christine likes to say.
That's right.
We're Christine, Marie, and Julie, and we're mother and daughter.
And I'm
team.
A mom.
Yes, you are. And it's so interesting because we talk about the radio show before we go on, and then we always think there's that split second where we're like, did we just do a whole hour of us talking before we go on the show?
Exactly.
And will we run out, and will we remember what we said? And I always tell my mom, Mom, don't worry. You and I have been together for so long in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes.
I'm sure.
We could talk for an hour on any subject.
Anything. Just like Jekyll and Hyde together again.
Now, I don't know if that's a real, is that a real musical?
It's a real, no, it's not, but okay. It should be.
It should be, I know. Because we had our brother over, my brother over a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and he likes to break out in song.
And, well, he had just been to the Cayman Islands. And he brought some of the paperback from the Cayman, and one of the advertisements was that they were doing Jekyll and I together again.
The musical.
The musical at the little local theater.
And so he broke out in song and started singing to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
It was funny as hell.
It really was. It really was. And so today we're going to do a little movie review in the beginning.
Are we?
Show. And we are taking a break from the Unwavering Strength interviews that we have been going on. And we're having our own podcast today. Yay! And I've got several things that I want to talk about with you lovely ladies out there.
Mm-hmm.
And gentlemen as well.
Mm-hmm.
And with you, Mom. And we're going to go and dig deep into the area that I like to talk about, which is forgiveness.
Yes.
And guilt. Because, and we're going to talk about it in ways.
We're just going to talk about it. We've got an actual program on it that we created, but you know what? Let's just break free from the program.
Yes.
Just talk about it.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we're going to do that today, and we're also going to talk about, this kind of goes along with forgiveness and the guilt that we have and how we need to really release this guilt that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
It's about saving someone, and I don't mean in the physical sense.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is, you know.
Although you would.
I would.
I've seen you, girlfriend. You would throw your life on the line to save someone.
I would.
I know you would.
You know, if that's just who I am. I hope
mm-hmm.
I never have to do that
mm-hmm.
And so forth, but that's
I
okay.
just remember one time. This is Dad and I were driving down the highway, and we saw that to the right that this truck had somehow the semi lost its load of steel or plastic pipe, actually.
Right.
And I went, oh my gosh, this is, what's that guy supposed to do? And we're, you know, Dad and I are slowly passing, and then we see little Julie on the side of the road. Picking up all this, helping this semi-driver.
Well, because I have...
And I went, wait, what?
Yeah, what?
Wait, what? That's
what
Julie on the side of the room.
So he's being helped by Julie. There we
That's
go.
Right. There you go.
That will be fine, you know. She'll deal with it.
Yeah.
And I did deal with it because I just told him, I said, listen, these were heavy pieces of steel, too. They must have weighed at least 150 pounds apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I was a little bit younger, and I said, you know, we can get this back on your semi, but you're going to have to just listen to me because I'm going to need to leverage everything.
Right, right.
And he goes, I'm just happy someone stopped to help me. I don't care if it's a girl. I'm like, that's right. You don't care if it's a girl.
And you get to say this. I don't care. If you want to do this, you're going to have to listen to me.
That's exactly right. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to pick. You're going to have to let me be the boss because I'm not as strong as you, and you'll just have to do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, okay. And he wanted to give me money, and I took it because he wouldn't say no. But I felt bad afterwards, just for a split second, because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, there's tolls up ahead, dude. You're going to have to pay tolls and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I took his money.
But, you know, it's true because sometimes people really want to give you something.
Yes.
And when you think you're being magnanimous and you're saying, oh, no, no, it really shuts the situation down. I can remember, and this is like must be a soul lesson for me, but this just an internet friend, right? When my mom passed away, she sent me a card with, I can't remember now if it was some oils or something, and I was so grateful that I sent her back. I could check or something for the oils because these were pretty nice oils, right?
Right.
And that was the end of the relationship. She was so upset that I just couldn't have graciously accepted. She thought I was trying to pay her, that there would be tit for tat and all that stuff. So I'm acutely aware now that there are certain people out there that really take umbrage with,
Well, I want to talk about charity as well and tonight.
All right.
And so this is a good part. Maybe we'll start by talking about this subject first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we want to talk about forgiveness, and we want to give actual specific situations where we hold on to the past, hold on to guilt,
mm-hmm.
and how we need to break free and go for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
how saving someone doesn't really necessarily help the situation. And then you just brought up this idea that I think one of our biggest ways that we can give to someone is to receive what they want to give to us.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, Jules.
And it's a service to the world that we're not good at. And I think we need to be a little bit better at it.
Because
mm-hmm. it's not charity.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And you gave a perfect situation, an example of mm-hmm. how a relationship really ended because
mm-hmm.
you want to give her something. You want to say thank you.
I did. I was really grateful.
In the form of money, and she couldn't receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you couldn't receive what she gave you without feeling like, mm-hmm. hey, I want to say thank you, and here's
right,
my way.
Right.
And she thought, well, it wasn't about the money.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't ready to receive that
right,
as well.
Right.
And I remember having a client who we had a really good session, and she said, you know, I really want to send you extra money for the session.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you don't have to do that. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I really want to. I'm like, all right, well, no, really, you don't. And I, as I'm saying these mm-hmm. words out of my mouth,
mm-hmm.
I'm realizing I'm going against everything I believe in.
Mm-hmm. And also, as you're saying it right now, I'm feeling the energy in that just shut down.
Exactly.
It's wild.
It's wild. And I realize as I was saying, my saboteur is saying this,
mm-hmm.
I'm not in control of really what I'm not believing what I'm saying, and yet I'm saying it anyway. And then you realize how ingrained we are
mm-hmm.
not to receive a gift from someone.
Wow.
Or to receive their generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have felt great giving me extra money.
She would have.
She would have felt abundant.
Yes.
And I denied her that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And she might have, I mean, we study this idea of seed money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Dr. Joe Vitale, he's written.
Oh, can I say something real quick?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
I never made the mistake again. So it did happen to me at other times as well. And I was like, thank you so much.
Oh, that's
I
so
really
generous
appreciate
of you.
That.
I will
you
really
know?
Accept that.
I do, and I know exactly where mm-hmm. I'm going to place it mm-hmm. and all that good stuff.
Well, and I did the same thing too because I've had many times since then where I just graciously accept something without feeling the need to, you know, pay back. It's like a tit for tat, and I'm aware that it's sort of like pay it forward. You know, they have these like on Starbucks. You know, somebody as soon as they open, well, whoever buys the first coffee buys a coffee for the person behind them.
Right.
And they see how long that link can go, that chain can go, and sometimes it's like 7 hours or 8 hours.
Right.
You know, and because you just want to pay it forward.
And it's still the same. It ends up being the same thing. You get your coffee paid for, mm-hmm. and you're paying for somebody else's. And I would love to know how long it lasts.
Yeah.
Because the generosity does feel great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a small way of having generosity. At least I do in a lot of different ways. But at the grocery store Aldi, I don't know if everybody has an Aldi store near them. But I love the way they do their carts because
mm-hmm.
you put a quarter in. And you put a quarter into the slot, and then the link breaks free, and you're allowed to have this cart. And their whole thing is, listen, by you putting in a quarter, you get your quarter back, by the way, at the
mm-hmm.
end.
Yeah.
You get to save so much more money, at Aldi's. Now, I think Aldi's is great because Aldi's also owns Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
And so Aldi's has these wonderful products that come and go. And,
they do, yeah.
And I love it because the grocery store is small.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel overwhelmed.
Right.
And it's just like boom, 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 boom. But anyway, more often than not, someone is saying, hey, do you need a cart? Like, oh, yeah, here's a quarter. He goes, no, no need. The quarter was there before.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pass it along.
Yeah.
And it just and so there are times when half time, I'm not even giving a quarter because there's a quarter in there, and I will leave the quarter myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a little off track. When I take my boyfriend's brother shopping, he's an adult with disabilities, and he's... He loves the fact. I go, okay, let's learn this so you know how to do it. And he mm-hmm. takes a quarter and puts it in. When he first learned it that he got the quarter back, he said, I'm going to keep this quarter, and I'm going to buy a Coke for my sweetheart at work tomorrow. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, really, it's not your quarter.
he had to be taught that lesson.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you know what? I'm giving you this quarter, Bob. Go ahead. You can have the quarter.
Yeah.
That's my generosity.
Yeah.
You know. How can I deny his sweetheart, you know, a soda?
That's right, the
How
Coke.
Can I? Yeah, exactly. And so how can we, thinking back, how can we now choose to receive? Because we all talk about law of attraction. We want to receive, ask and it is given,
mm-hmm.
you know, ask and receive. And we're all about receiving the things that we want. But in a lot of ways, that has to come in the form of someone giving it to us.
Right.
It could be a, you know, assistance, help, a gesture, money, gifts. And can we receive it genuinely without feeling the need to have to give it back mm-hmm. to them specifically?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so. This is really interesting territory because people like, I imagine most people like me, you know, been married a long time, you know, I end up being the giver.
Right.
You know, like Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer, he has a tendency to call himself Chief Write-A-Check.
Yeah.
You know, because you see, you know, that's usually your role is that I'm the giver, I make sure, but I am aware, I've sort of really turned it around to see when somebody's giving me something or something is I just want to honor it.
Right.
I really want to honor that and not screw up the, oh, it's got to be tit for tat,
right.
And I've got to do, you know. But what about just paying it forward, Julie? What about that?
I love the idea of paying it forward.
Yeah.
Because you really are in that cycle. You Isn't can't it? Receive without honoring somebody giving it to
mm-hmm.
you.
And we were in a deep discussion about that this week. And I said, we travel to the next town over is called Oregon, and we travel there every day because that's where Norm works and stuff like that. And I said to you, there's this little old lady that I see, and she's always sitting on a bench in front of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
She has her little walker, and I said, every time I see her, I want to give her $20.
Mm-hmm.
I just yes. The spirit just comes in me, and I just go, I want to give her. And I said, the next time we see her, let's do it.
Right.
And wasn't it like just that same, like within the hour or something, we heard somebody say, we were listening to one of our tapes or whatever, and say, you know, if the spirit's telling you to do this,
you have to do it.
Then go ahead and do it.
Exactly.
And don't feel awkward about it. And it was just like, yeah, that was just like validation.
And we can talk ourselves out of giving, and we can talk ourselves out of receiving.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're giving, I do think that we have to let it go. It's not our job to control how they receive. You hope they receive it well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can only say, you know what, I'm only giving this to you in the purest of intentions.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want it, pass it along to somebody who might.
I've seen people, though, it kind of gives me the willies, but I understand. Like, there'll be somebody, maybe, I wouldn't call them begging, but, you know, handout and stuff like
right.
that. And they'll say, I'll give you this, but don't go buy booze with it.
Right.
You know?
And they're like, sure, I won't buy booze. Now, you didn't say cocaine or marijuana. You just said booze.
But, you know, I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand, because otherwise, in like a higher sense, you're playing into their addiction or whatever.
Right.
But then there's that other part that if I want to give, I want to give freely.
Yes.
I guess it's all about me and not about the person, but...
It's about both. How about that? Well, and you're talking right now, too, about... I don't know if you're... I don't want to split hairs, because I do think it's our responsibility that if we are people who give frequently or even tithe or seed, whatever you call it, and wherever you're at, to do it responsibly and with intention...
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
Julie, I love this one. Rather than drink responsibly, you're saying tithe responsibly.
Exactly, tithe responsibly. And then also, you can't control it. You know, I mean,
right.
You are giving it to the universe, to God, whatever you're saying. Mm-hmm. You're putting it into that flow, that currency, that energy flow. And
I love that, because if you think that it's yours to begin with, you are mightily wrong.
And that has taken me a long time to understand this, and I'm going deeper with this.
Mm-hmm.
This belief helps me in my life, this idea that I'm a steward
mm-hmm.
of what's given to me.
Yes.
And the better I take care of it, the more that comes, and the less I'm attached to it
mm-hmm.
in weird ways,
mm-hmm.
the more that comes to me as well.
Yes.
What does the Bible say? It's not the love of money that is evil.
Money
is not evil.
No.
It's the love of money that's
right.
evil.
The root of all evil.
Right, thank you. And it really is about, is money the master of you,
mm-hmm.
the lack of it or the abundance of it?
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's not a healthy place to be.
Either way, it's your master.
Right. I'm the master of it. It does what I say.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
you'll do what I tell you.
Right.
And just like you did with the guy with the pipes on his semi.
Exactly. You'll do what I
tell you. And you'll like it.
And I'm sure he just texted his wife. I go, I just got bossed around by a young lady. Help me put my... But what can I do?
I just told Dad, keep driving.
I'm not going to let her. I think I called you saying, just want to let you know I'm going to be late. Helping the gentleman out. You know, I'd want someone to help my father if he was on the side of the road.
That's right.
And so forth. And there it was. But... You know, when you talk about the panhandler and then putting, quote-unquote,
right.
limitations.
Right.
I do feel that in those cases I wouldn't choose to, because I would want that person to feel abundant in any source
right.
or
right.
to take my gift without
mm-hmm.
strings
mm-hmm.
to know that really I just want to share with you.
Right, because at that point you're making the decision for him where he has... At some point, you know, you give it to him freely, he has that option to choose at a higher frequency.
Right. And maybe my energy frequency can mm-hmm. influence his energy and frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe this guy really knows how to panhandle well, and he's saving 10% for his retirement,
mm-hmm.
and he's saving. He does it all.
Living better than you.
Yeah, who knows? But it is an exchange. I felt, I would feel good. And
yeah.
he hopefully would feel good. But, you know, I really choose that if I'm giving, I don't give to a place I don't feel good about. I mean, if there's a twinge of, like, I don't feel good about this,
mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I choose not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I feel
I agree.
Browbeaten. Is that the right word?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you when I feel browbeaten, okay?
Mm-hmm. You tell me.
When I see, can we just call them panhandlers then? Or
yes.
Okay. When they got a doggy. Oh my God! I gotta stop the car. You
right.
know they got. Is he got? Does he have enough water? Oh, let me go buy. You know, I'm mushmelon.
Right.
When the panhandler has a doggy, and I know that they may be doing that for effect, but
they are. And typically, the dog looks healthy and looks happy.
Really?
I mean, truly. I always feel like that dog.
Wait,
has,
what?
Yeah. I always feel like that dog is probably the happiest dog in the world. He's with his master
mm-hmm.
or his owner
24/7.
Just him, his
best
friend. Oh,
Julie, you got a nice little story that goes with
that. I have to. Otherwise, you just go,
you
what?
Do. You have to have that story.
You have to. It's all a
it's
story
the happiest
anyway.
Dog in the world.
Yeah. It's,
being out there in the sun with the traffic and the carbon monoxide.
Well, luckily, I don't see it very often.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. I don't live in towns that have that.
mm-hmm.
All right. Have to do something about it, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Girlfriend with mm-hmm. charities, such as mm-hmm. we've all been on Facebook, on the internet, we're kind of being pushed to donate to certain causes that we really don't know anything about. I mean, not the cause, but where the money goes.
Right.
Such as ALS and the water dump, the ice dumping
over
the
head. The ice bucket challenge,
the ice
right?
bucket challenge.
Yeah. Very interesting because you have a cousin.
Yes.
With ALS.
Right.
And and she's had it for years. And we've chosen, rather than to give to the ALS
foundation or whatever it
yeah,
is.
I mean, we've chosen to give to her.
Right.
And her family.
Right. And it does seem like that 100% of the money goes to helping people.
Yes.
You know? But it's interesting because when these challenges come, I never know where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel like, well, what percentage goes towards what they call it, office stuff or
mm-hmm. administrative
stuff.
Administrative
stuff. Yes. And how much does your the boss of the nonprofit make?
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's costs involved, and I don't think that anyone should have to, you know, the donations should take care of the cost. But there is definitely, you know, when it's out of whack.
Yes.
And you know when a foundation is run really well, mm-hmm. and their goal is to give as much possible to mm-hmm. where it goes and
well,
so forth.
Like, for example, one of, this is so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because Julie, last week we got up early and we got out of the house, and so we said, let's get an egg or something at Hardee's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, we're placing our order, and at the very end they said, do you want to donate $1? To St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Right.
Now, this is really weird because this is one of our, you know, top five charities that we give to every month.
Right.
And so I said no.
I said no.
Just, but not because it was, you know, it was because we in our Clutterfly Effect book, it's dedicated to St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Right. Which you can get at Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. Yeah, 10% of all the money that we make goes to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And I felt like a douche for saying no.
Well, and
I got up to the window and I'm like, ma'am, I just want you to know that St. Jude's Children's Hospital is one of our charities, and Julie and I, we wrote a book.
And I'm saying, please, now you're embarrassing Mom.
Yeah, that's what you're telling me. So, Mom, stop it.
Please stop it.
But it just was one of those, ooh.
It was an ooh all the way around.
Yeah.
And I told you, I go, if she just asked for 25 cents, I would give it to her heartbeat.
Yeah.
Everybody would say yes.
So you got a line, you got your line drawn in the sand there,
well,
girlfriend.
Well, in this situation, because I don't have any idea where it goes to.
No, I know what you mean.
I don't have any idea. So, what? I'll get a little picture, and you know, I get to sign my name on a picture of a child who went to St. Jude, and I'm like, great, that's awesome. But I don't know where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
At least when I do it directly to them, and I mm-hmm. feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But at 25 cents, I'm willing to take the risk. At
right.
a dollar,
right?
I'm not. I remember being at a grocery store, and the woman ahead of me was using her debit card, and it asked her on the screen, do you want to donate $1 to whatever their charity was? And it could have been St. Jude or someplace else. And she kept hitting no, 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 and then it still charged her $1.
Oh my gosh!
And she was flustered
mm-hmm.
and angry. And then it went through the machine, and like the cashier didn't know what to do because it had already taken her $1.
Oh no!
And I said, can you just give her $1 back somehow?
Was she freaking out?
Oh, she's freaking out. And I thought to myself, do I have an? I came with a $5 bill, and I had five. I had enough for just to pay for my stuff, or
mm-hmm.
I would have just given her $1
mm-hmm.
because she was obviously flustered,
mm-hmm.
and the cashier didn't know what to do. And I thought, see,
that's not right.
That's not right.
Mm-mm.
It takes the energy.
The joy. It takes the joy out of giving.
It really does.
And
I
certainly was in joy for me when I, you know, the lady at the speaker through Hardy said, you know, oh, would you like to donate $1 to St. Jude? I was like, oh, I said no. And by the time I drove all the way up there, I was racked with guilt.
Yes.
Guilt.
And we're going to, you know, we're not breaking yet. We're going to wait till 7:30 to break. But after that, let's talk about guilt and forgiveness. Let's go through our steps.
Well, I also want to talk about one of the charities that we do give to is the Smile Train. And from everything I've researched, it's, you know, a very good charity where a lot, most of the money, in fact, if maybe not all, goes to actually get, it's for children or in third world countries, that there's a real stigma if you are born with like a cleft palate in these countries, and they don't get to go to school, they're just ostracized, they don't have a chance at a social life, and these doctors, you know, from America go over there and you know, give them the surgery, which is pretty common, really.
Right.
And it takes care of it, and it makes them, you know.
So do you feel good that you do that?
Makes me feel good, yeah.
I hope they feel good that they received it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say I was talking to Hillary today about this topic on that we're going to discuss about charities.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh my, and she just showed me this, sent me this text about, she goes, well, I just got this text, and it's about, you know, think before you pink. And it's all about the fact, now, I wasn't able to go onto the website before the show. I tried, so I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it just says, Susan G. Komen only gives less than 20% of donations to cancer research. Their CEO makes $684,000 a year. I don't know. I didn't verify this yet. Mm-hmm. I'm just going on what was
that. This is just a text you got from her?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought to myself, exactly.
Yeah.
They generate a ton of money.
Yeah, they do.
A ton.
Yeah.
And also, I try to do one of their marathon or their 5K run. It was a long thing, but you have to give them $2,000 or something like that. You have to promise that you are going to pay, give them $2,000 to even think about running and walking.
Ouch.
And then they go, then you know, we'll teach you how you can get your friends and family to pay you that back.
Like, really?
You know,
really?
Yeah, it was pretty wild, but they master it, and people love to support causes because, and I do too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do too. So the website's called Think Before You Pink, and I, like I said, I wasn't too, wasn't able to verify everything, but
very interesting, Julie.
I know, very interesting.
Yeah. So when we come back from the break,
We're going to talk about forgiveness and guilt, like we just talked about today, about charity guilt. We want everybody
to donate
the
dollar, man.
Yes.
Oh, no.
We want to put everybody, put the past behind them, feel that freedom of forgiving consciousness, and move forward.
Sounds wonderful.
So let's go on to our break, everyone.
I was a gay girl.
The Yeah Yeah Girls.
Yeah.
I love that song.
I can't get it out of my head now. But you know what?
Yeah, yeah, girl.
Like being a Yeah Yeah Girl. I want to say yes. I want to say yes to life.
I do too. I want to say yes to more life. And it does not mean that everything will be perfect. In fact, it means
when I was in college, I said yes a lot.
Yes. Yes. And I was going to say, I may be the result of that. Yes, in college.
Illinois is soon going to be a medical marijuana state.
I know.
I may find myself saying yes to that.
Well, it's funny because I've been kind of pushing you towards that.
I know. Anytime I'm in a bad mood,
yeah,
Julie makes the universal sign of smoking, you know, like putting a bud in her mouth. And you're like, damn, Julie, okay, I'll take some medical marijuana. All right.
Well, it's funny because I can't. So I want to live vicariously through you.
Why can't you?
Oh, because in case my father needs me to drive a semi.
Because you're a truck driver.
And I can always be tested at any given moment.
That's right. you know what? Even with medical marijuana?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, I have no idea.
I don't either.
Well, first of all, I think we're a couple
of years away.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to get a prescription for it.
Yeah.
You could possibly.
Possibly.
Maybe my anxiety level is so high, i.e. medical marijuana, or a little tiny dog to go with me everywhere.
Well, see, we're at our gas station where we get our gas. They now have a sign that says, You're the only doggy that you can bring in the store has to be like a service dog.
Yes.
And then they have it like in parentheses, like blind or what they're saying is you just can't have a dog because you emotionally
need a dog
to go inside the store.
Yeah.
Like, that's
you
not
know.
Fair.
I want
that's
a dog for that
fair.
Reason.
I want me a puppy
exactly.
to hold on to.
I would feel much better, and then you would feel much better because I would feel really feeling
exactly.
better. I love it.
So, and wonder if they'd allow medical marijuana at the BP.
I don't know. Probably not.
Dang.
So I want to talk about forgiveness, and I also want to say one thing about the last half hour of the show, talking about charity and how really it's important to receive as much as to give.
Yes.
And when we receive something, we give that other person the opportunity to feel good about it.
You bet.
With no strings attached, right?
You bet.
And we talked about this idea that there are charities that are not, you know, ran well and maybe not give as much as we think. And I know there's a website, and like I said, my computer's having a hard time right now, or mm-hmm. I tell you the exact website because mm-hmm. I was trying to look it up, that gives you all the percentages of your donation. This much goes to the cost of doing business, mm-hmm. and this much goes directly to helping or, you know, research or whatever. And so mm-hmm. forth. So I always think that if we are giving our money, we should at least say, hey, I do it responsibly.
Yeah, I think you're right. I was sort of joshing you before, but I guess there is a, you know, responsible giving.
Slightly, yeah. Just slightly. Well, because so many people now have a foundation for this and this and this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, don't they do a good enough job?
Mm-hmm.
They have everything in place. How mm-hmm. can you possibly?
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, you give me your money, and then I take 80% of your money,
mm-hmm.
and then for myself, and then the 20% goes to them. Oh, so I could just give it to them directly.
Yeah, why don't you think about that?
I remember one time, I'm going to just barf this out now, too. I'm not being too judgy. I remember this one woman was talking about how she has this lovely house, and she has this lovely house because it's where she throws all of her foundation fundraising stuff. And the fundraising helps pay for her house. And I thought,
Whoa. Well, I go,
there's a racket in all this fundraising.
Wow. You know, that's kind of interesting, though, because, you know, it sounds like kind of like Laverne and Shirley, you know, give us any rule, we'll break it.
Right.
You know, just give us a rule, and we'll figure out a damn way.
Right.
To...
We'll make charity profitable. We'll make it. I'll make my million somehow.
Yeah.
Or my billion, however we do it. I'll figure out a way.
Yeah.
That's
kind of like
it.
I love, like, Donald Trump, you know. He always says, I've never been bank robbed.
All right.
I've never been. But it's
his company
common knowledge that
yes.
his companies have been, you know, gone into bankruptcy many, many, many times.
Right. And I was listening to I can't believe you brought that up because I want to, in this forgiveness session that we're talking about right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a financial advisor for seniors on the radio because I'm a senior. I'm not. But I just happen to be because he was talking about student loans
uh-huh.
and how there's like over $1 trillion worth of debt of seniors having student loan debt.
I know.
And
I'm one of those seniors.
Yeah.
Dang it.
I know.
Dang it.
He's talking about people with that also may have credit card debt and all this stuff. And he goes, bankruptcy has to be on the table still because a lot of times after a certain age, you're not able to work and you're still carrying all this debt.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter or the interviewer said, you know, I think the stigma is gone from bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, you know, Donald Trump, the one that has his name on one of the towers in, one of the skyscrapers in Chicago.
Yeah.
His company has been bankrupt a couple times and he flies in on his private jet and takes his limo to work and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to learn to start forgiving ourselves,
mm-hmm.
I think, because...
Well, I think you're right, though. That stigma is... I can remember as a child, I think that people who had financial problems, from what I remember, they were actually put in a poorhouse.
Right.
Like... One of my mom's favorite expressions was, you know, you're going to put me in the poorhouse. And I didn't really know what that meant.
Yeah.
until years later that they actually, you know, I mean, it was horrible.
Right.
And to get into kind of a financial bind. And now it's almost like the system, I don't know, it's so easy. Like,
yes.
For example, your boyfriend, his daughter is going to have over $100,000 in student loans.
Yes.
When she graduates.
And will not be a doctor. That's the weird part.
Or an attorney.
Right, or an attorney. She'll speak Chinese.
Or a sports figure.
Yeah. No, she won't be any of those things.
No.
She may speak Chinese. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, fluent enough.
Yeah.
But
it's like it's kind of funny because she was visiting last Christmas, and she was a junior. And we said, oh, my God, 3 years of Chinese. Let's see. Tell us what the word for dog is.
I don't know. I didn't learn that word yet.
I don't know.
We didn't learn the word
How about a house?
Yeah.
No.
I'm having performance anxiety. We're like, oh, my gosh. Oh,
like,
no.
That's when you go, oops.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like, I know you're going to, you know, end up changing your major or what you're going to be, but oops, you know, $1,000.
Yeah, oops. Well, exactly, because I wouldn't thought Chinese was very... I couldn't learn Chinese.
No.
I couldn't do it.
No.
It's just too foreign of a language.
Well, also, from whatever I've heard is that you've got to actually, you know, move to China and commit to, you know, several years.
Well, it's also tonal. I mean, there's a tone to the words as well, so you can say one word... three different tones, and it means different things.
Kind of like Eskimo-ese?
Yes.
Like they got 35 words for snow?
Exactly. I guess so. That's exactly what I mean.
You've never heard that?
I have heard that saying.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not sure if it's the right analogy.
I know it's not. You know, I'm trying to inject some humor.
I'm glad, because when we're talking about forgiveness,
yes.
That's the best thing to do.
Yes.
And it's funny, in my notes, I have the number 4, and forgiveness.
No.
I don't know why. My notes. But I want to talk about, first of all, breaking this down into different sections. Because one thing, when I'm dealing with clients, the biggest obstacle is their past. Because we put so much, it's not about forgiving other people so much as they can't forgive themselves for when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about law of attraction, you know, we all talk about how we feel good and we attract good things into our life, and that has a way of also keeping us on the edge of things. And we're taught that, right? If you're not on the edge of life, you're taking up too much space. Go for your goal. Go for the gusto. Do all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes
dream big.
Dream big. You know, and take out a big loan.
Price.
I don't know, and
there,
and sometimes there's a price.
Yeah,
and a lot of times there's a price, and when it doesn't turn out the way you'd hoped, and you've done all your work, and you're left with a failed business, a lot of debt. There's a lot of guilt going on there.
You bet.
And it's hard to move on. And yet, when the ones who can move on fastest are the ones that can have a successful future. Because in this lifetime, that's our main goal, for growth and to have a better future. And it can happen if we just always say, we take what we can and learn from this situation
mm-hmm.
for the next situation coming, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, can I say something?
Yeah.
No, I agree, and then there's, I want to have a bit of a caveat, because... There's some time needed to sort of call wisdom
right.
from the situation,
sure.
you know, rather than just, you know, kind of keep plowing ahead.
Right.
And I know you don't mean that.
No, I don't mean that.
Yeah.
You're right. There's always time, because when you have a financial crisis or you have financial guilt, it could be as I didn't save enough money.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted to do my
mm-hmm.
whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And now here I am, 65, and I don't have my retirement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or I tried my business and it didn't work out and it failed. And I feel so, you know,
mm-hmm.
so less than.
Mm-hmm.
How can I move on? And it does start by working on forgiveness, forgiving yourself
mm-hmm.
for even just feeling bad about the situation.
Yes.
And I think that is the key, because we have to come to the place where we can't control everything. And with Law of Attraction, we felt like we could.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed several people for the Unwavering Strength people, but I remember Sandy Alimian, I think her name was.
Alimian,
thank mm-hmm. you. But she talked about how she felt with all of her spiritual work and her positivity, she could make this one thing that she was dealing with, this crisis,
mm-hmm.
go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard many people talk about
yeah.
that as well. Like, I'm not going to get that in my life because
right.
I don't attract that. I'm
right.
not, and right. And yet somehow it sneaks in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we get Law of Attraction guilt, like, oh, I must have somehow
mm-hmm.
did this.
What am I doing
wrong?
Again, I'm wrong.
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
About 8 weeks ago, I had a huge physical ailment come to me. I threw my back out and
mm-hmm.
threw it out big time.
Mm-hmm. And a bit longer than that, I bet.
Yeah, maybe it was. And mm-hmm. I'm still not recovered completely.
No,
it might have been
no.
like 12 weeks or
right.
16 weeks. And for 2 weeks straight, I barely could walk.
No.
I actually had to use a walker.
Right.
Now, I did this by doing extreme yoga. I did it doing yoga. And I remember when it happened, I felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, I'm like, I don't know why this happened to me. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But this has really cost me money. It's costing me time. I can't be productive in my family. The people around me who need me, I can't help them. And I was really just kind of, I guess, saddened and
mm-hmm.
shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, though, what happened was I couldn't do anything else but deal with my spirit.
That's so true.
I had to nurture my spirit because I couldn't do anything else.
Because the body, the flesh,
right.
was just...
Taking a break.
Yeah, taking a break, honey.
Yeah.
Taking a break. Taking a break, boss. Taking a break.
Exactly. And so...
I was kind of from Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
So like, there's a movie reference, honey.
Yeah. And so I when I work with clients, and we have 21... We have a lot of different ways and processes that we do to help people start the forgiving process.
Right.
We can do it energetically. By bringing up a person, even ourselves, and then, you know, feeling the feeling, you know, sending light, sending love, letting it go, wishing yourself, your future self, a better future, mm-hmm. releasing the past, taking, you know, all that stuff. We, you know, we got it all, right?
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. And still, it comes up,
mm-hmm.
and it comes up for clearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dealing with a client who had gone through a bankruptcy, and... She was still dealing with the consequences, and she couldn't get full, you know, she was having a hard time making decisions
mm-hmm.
because of this guilt and this fear, and it all comes in hand,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to her, and I said, you know, what if, because a lot of times our guilt and our inability to forgive ourselves comes from a belief system that we're bad.
Mm-hmm.
We did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this story, and this helped her. And so I'm going to say it in case somebody else needs this and feels helped by it. They were talking about Egypt, and they were talking about how they wanted to promote entrepreneurship. And they said they had to work on the laws for bankruptcy. Because if you don't have a good set of bankruptcy laws mm-hmm. that allows people to be able to go out, put their money in,
mm-hmm.
and then borrow extra money
mm-hmm.
and work really hard for, and if it goes wrong, if they can't, after a certain amount of time, start fresh,
mm-hmm.
no one wants to try.
Right.
Because
it just cripples the spirit,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Because consequences are too severe.
Right.
I mean, think about it. Could Donald Trump still have what he has if he
mm-hmm.
had to carry the debt of his previous businesses?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times did we hear about... Mitt Romney and his company, how they would go in and destroy a company, make it go bankrupt, take all the profit out.
They did just two towns down. One of his companies did that.
Right.
And it's totally, you know, just dead there now.
Right. And so, but what we see is that there has to be a place for it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you are living in the poorhouse, or you have debtor's prison. Mm-hmm. And even in, if you want to quote the Bible, you know, or whatever, there are parts, I was reading it in the Old Testament, talking about every 7 years, your debts are wiped clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it talks about not also not having debt.
Right.
But,
right.
But in this society, we're really fostered and pushed and brainwashed to go and, in some ways, get into debt so that we can be prosperous.
Yeah, it's so that, you know, that stuff bugs me. You know,
right.
I do want people to be able to have, you know, to be able to rectify something with a, you know, business bankruptcy or personal bankruptcy, you know, to take care of that. But we're so poorly schooled on business. We just think that, oh, if you have a business, you're going to be rich.
Right.
I remember when I was in high school, I worked at a record shop. And the boss, Mr. I can't think of his name now, darn it, but I just assumed he was rich.
Right.
I just assumed he's got a record shop.
And now he doesn't have anything, I'm sure.
Record?
What's a record?
Yeah, now it would be like just an earbud shop, I guess.
Or maybe he has all these old records and he's making money
off
of them.
Yeah, exactly. All the old Beatles ones.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're young, you just think as long as you have your own business, well, it's going to be great.
Right.
You know, it's be fabulous. And but the thing is, man, that really helps the economy.
It does.
You know, these small businesses, and, you know, especially in small towns, people use small, you know, as social hangouts. And,
right.
I mean, damn it if they don't have, you know, recourse if it goes awry. You know, I want them to.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that you want people to take chances?
Do what?
You want people to take chances. You want people to feel free enough to take chances.
Oh, chances. I mean, yeah, going into business for yourself
is a big chance.
Definitely is a risk. But, and you know, going in that 80% of businesses fail.
Right.
You know, so you go in with hopefully the least amount of blinders on.
Right.
And you kind of ball up, you know, man up. You know, and say, I'm doing this, I'm working hard, this I'd like this to turn out, you know, but you know what I mean. I want you to have some, you know, gravitas, make this a mature decision.
Right.
And
know that the truth is...
Got some skin in the game.
You're going to have skin in the game.
Yeah.
And the truth is we don't know if it'll work out.
No.
But if you keep going, eventually it will. But sometimes if it doesn't work out the first time, that guilt can drive us to a place we don't want to try again.
I agree with that.
And that's where the forgiveness comes in.
Right.
Because I do believe that if we all asked everybody, we would all think the best for the world is for all of us to do the best we can and have better and better futures.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care if you're my quote-unquote enemy, you know, whatever that means. I don't want, if there's something that you're holding on to, I don't want you to hold on to that.
No.
I don't want you to feel guilt about that.
No.
We've all tried our best.
Mm-hmm.
And what can we learn? I mean, we all talk about from these failures come our biggest accomplishments.
Right.
And it does.
Right.
Every story of a huge accomplishment comes with accomplishment.
Mm.
Thank you. Accomplishment comes from a place of failure.
Right. Well, when we were building, years ago, we built a house and the contractor that we were using took a lot of our money. We ended up not moving into that house. We ended up losing that house. But when we went to build again, and we've since built again, we knew a lot more.
Yes, we took total control of everything.
Yes, yes. And we knew a lot more.
Yeah, exactly.
And we didn't stop trying. It didn't squelch us.
No, and there were things that happened during that time. And we kept going, and the house turned out beautifully.
Yes, yes.
And so forth. I do want to say a couple things, a couple of little tidbits that may help as well.
Mm-hmm.
This helped me the other day. I was hearing this. I wanted to write this down because I thought it was great. I think it was on Oprah's Masterclass or something. And Steve Harvey said, Steve Harvey, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I heard Paul Harvey's voice in my head. Like, oh, my gosh.
Paul Harvey salute.
Yes, doesn't compute. And, you know, he said, really, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates won't even look at you if you haven't failed a couple times.
Oh, that's right.
They won't invest in your business if you haven't failed a couple of times.
This one guy was saying to Oprah, he goes, "It's my wife. She's trying another business again. She wants me to invest.
Yes.
And she's already failed twice. What do you think?" And Steve Harvey said, "Look, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett won't even look at you to invest in unless you've failed at least twice." And he went, smart. I love it.
Well,
absolutely.
Yes.
To say that is so powerful.
It is. It is. The husband didn't appreciate that comment.
No.
He was like, "I really don't want to invest
I didn't want to invest in my wife's business."
And we always say, "Happy wife, happy life."
You bet. What was he had the, oh, man, Steve Harvey. He's so cool. He had another comment. It was the two best days, no, the days in your life, one when you're born and...
That's when we know your purpose.
And when you know your purpose or why you're here.
Yeah. And it was so funny because last weekend I saw Denzel Washington's movie, The Equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that show back then?
I used to love the old Equalizer.
And the first...
I used to dream about him.
Oh, yeah. And this first scene... Or it has just words, and it says, "The two most important days of your life, the day you are born and the day you find out why."
Yeah.
Mark Twain.
really?
And you've always told me there's nothing new under the sun.
There's nothing new under the sun.
You know, that's probably that same phrase or that same quote was said by Pharaoh, you know?
Yeah. It just somehow iterated.
It just keeps coming and coming
that's
and coming.
Right.
And we're all part of the one. But I do want to read this one quote from the Bible.
Which one, girlfriend?
It's Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. But I want to read this because I think it's Paul saying this.
Mm-hmm.
"Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before."
Yes.
And isn't that what we all want?
You bet.
Forget what is behind.
Forgive and forget.
You cannot change. It's done. Learn.
Yes.
And then reach
and
for
reach
what
forward.
Is before and what you want.
Absolutely.
And that's
beautiful.
What I ask. That's what I hope for everybody out there today.
Yes, to be able to forgive and forget.
Yes.
And then to reach forward.
Yes.
And move forward with the wisdom and the knowledge that you've gleaned. Do you believe it? Julie, you just quoted a passage from the Bible on radio.
I love it. I love it.
I do, too. I thought that's pretty ballsy of you, girlfriend.
There you go. I had this discussion today with Doug, and he's like, "You know there's no God." I'm like, "Oh, I do not know that."
Don't you go there. Don't you go there, sir.
I go, "There's no God?" I go, "What's your spiritual?" I'm just messing with him because I'm like, "Okay, we can go here." During the Bears game, which
That's why he was saying there's no God.
That's why he was saying.
Yeah.
You know,
the Bears lost, and so for
and
him,
Cutler
there is no God.
Gave me good points, though. He gave me more than projected, and that's all I care about.
And that's your fantasy football team winning this.
Cutler, him.
Yeah.
He did a good job today, even though he had a good first half, terrible second half.
How's baby Cutler doing?
I have no idea. I don't keep up with the Cutlers. I just care how he throws the ball. So I don't know how. That's more like for
Julie. That's you don't understand. That's a league question.
I know.
If you watch the league,
I do watch the league.
Okay, you would know that. If I said, "How's baby Cutler doing?" you would know.
I guess he's doing well, right?
Right.
I think they have
still on breast milk.
That might be in a previous episode, Mom. Yeah, that league is a pretty funny show.
I love it.
Yes. So before we say goodbye and call it, we want everybody to go to theclutterflyeffect.com. You can purchase our book on Amazon.
We've got to buy the book, Clutterfly Effect, Amazon, number one. And if you want I love sending out the audio of it, because Julie and I did the audio of the book, and when you sent us your receipt and tell us that you bought it, we send it right to your email box, audio of that.
And the tagline of that is, "Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
Do you have like a brain fart there?
I did. I did. You know, it's been a long day and I've done a lot of talking and I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want for everybody is to have peace.
Yes.
We have growth.
Peace.
Fun. Joy. And to have more and more life. We hope you join us next weekend. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.